Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Hosea. The Old Testament book of Hosea and Hosea chapter number 7. Hosea and chapter number 7. Hosea is, of course, the first of what we would call the minor prophets. So if you open up your Bible towards the middle, you will usually come to Psalms and Proverbs. You continue to turn over to Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Then you'll come to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, and we find our way into chapter number 7. Remember that God is using the prophet Hosea for him and his life as an example of God's heartbrokenness towards his people. And whereas God is invisible, God is a spirit, sometimes we have a hard time relating emotions to him. But God is an emotional God, and we're made in his image. We're emotional too. And God is heartbroken over his people. We find our way to Hosea chapter 7, where God is again dealing with his people Israel with a desire to bring them back to himself. Notice, if you don't mind, a frightening passage in Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah chapter 7, and if you wouldn't mind, notice with me starting in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. They consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They made the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as a heated oven by the baker, who ceaseth from rising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. And the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He has stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their hearts like an oven, whilst they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all the night, and in the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as ovens. They have devoured their judges, and all their kings have fallen. There is none among them that calleth out to me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake, not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They go to call Egypt, and they go to Assyria. When they go, I will spread my net upon them, and I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me, though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against them, me. They have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assembled themselves for corn and wine. They rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Hosea, chapter number 7? Hosea, chapter 7, and notice with me in verse number 9. Notice the phrase, he knoweth it not. He knoweth it not. Then at the end of verse 9, we see it again, yet he knoweth not. With this, we would like to preach a message unaware. The idea, unaware. He knoweth it not. This person is unaware. In this chapter here, we could see this phrase, he knoweth it not. There are so many people who are unaware. They don't even realize where they find themselves. They don't even realize the danger they find in. They don't even realize the emptiness that's all around them. In fact, to illustrate this point, hold your finger here and turn with me to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. And we come to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, if you are familiar with, is dealing with the Bible strongman of Samson. Samson, of course, did not have strength in his own. He had the strength of the Spirit of God. How do we know this? Well, because when they kept asking him what's the spirit of his strength, if he was built like a bodybuilder, well, then they would have known where his strength was come from. He didn't look like a bodybuilder. And yet he was able to do amazing feats. And it was because of the Spirit of the Lord. In fact, may I illustrate that? Notice with me in the book of Judges in chapter number 14. Judges chapter 14. And notice with me, if you don't mind, Judges 14. I want to show you a couple different verses and then bring you to a frightening verse to show this principle of unaware. Judges 14 and verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. So in verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Verse number 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. A second time we see the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. Notice with me chapter 15 and verse 14. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Three times we have recorded about the Bible strong man Samson, that the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. Three times the Spirit of God was on him, and he was able to do amazing feats with the Spirit of the Lord. However, as we go deeper into chapter number 16, Judges 16, and notice with me in verse 20, and she said, Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He was unaware. He got up and said, I'm going to do it just like I did it before. But he didn't realize God wasn't with him. He was unaware. That's probably the most frightening condition that we have described in the Bible towards the people that God is trying to reach. They are unaware. They do not realize how much of a danger they find themselves. They do not realize the precipice that they are floating over. Jonathan Edwards, the great American theologian, in his in his message, The Sinners, the Hands of the Angry God, he describes it as people that are hanging over the pit of hell just by a thread, and they do not realize how thin that thread really is, that at any time it could snap. They are unaware. And as we go back to Hosea chapter number 7, God is telling these people, God's people, the people that God loves and he's trying to reach to, the people that he is so brokenhearted for, and is acknowledging that they are unaware. What a frightening position to be in, that you are unaware of the danger you find yourself in. You are unaware of your true spiritual condition. These people in Hosea's time thought they were fine. They were unaware. If you don't mind, as we look at Hosea chapter 7, let's describe this condition and how the Bible gives these word pictures to help describe that they were unaware. Notice that, first of all, they are an oven. They are an oven. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we start off in verse number 1, "And when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. For the wickedness of Samaria, they commit falsehood, as the thief cometh in, the trooper robber spoileth without. They consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness." Part of being unaware is that they don't realize that God sees everything and he remembers everything. We're pretty good about hiding things from our memory. And we think out of sight, out of mind. Instead of dealing with our sins, we bury it, we forget about it, and we never deal with it. But God is never forgotten. They are always in our sight, on his mind. And we are unaware of the danger we're in. We think that we could sin, and if we forget about it, it's fine. But we're unaware. Notice as God still builds us up, verse 3. "They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as a oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from rising after he kneadeth the dough until it be leavened." Notice this, an oven heated by the baker. What is he talking about? Verse 4, "They are all idolaters." We know that there's a principle in the Bible repeated over and over and over that idolatry is preceded by immorality. That it starts with our vision of God, that if we don't see God high, holy, and lifted up, what will follow is immorality. Why can someone commit sex outside of marriage? Because God is not in his rightful place. Why can a man cheat on his wife or a wife cheat on her husband? Because God is not in his rightful place. It all begins with our vision of God. And when we don't see God high, holy, and lifted up, it allows us to fall into immorality. Why is it that the children of Israel here, that they could lie to their king and make him happy? Because God is not in his rightful place. When God is in his rightful place, we see him as a holy God. And we are see ourselves as unholy people. But when we see ourselves, I'm fine, I'm good, I've got things, I don't need to change. It's because we're not looking at a holy God. That's the whole problem, is that we're not looking at God and we're looking at ourselves. And because of this, he gives this picture here that they are all adulterers, as an oven heated by a baker. Carries the idea of this heat just continuing to go on, this flaming fire that's burning burning them up. I just want more immorality, more immorality. Oh, I can't. I need to look at more. I need to think of more. It's on my mind. It's on my thing. We know that immorality changes, or things like pornography changes how people think. It makes it so a man, when he looks at a woman, he immediately evaluates her whether she's sexual compatible or not, instead of looking at her as a person. So many people have it. By the way, it's not just a man problem. Yeah. They're now calculating that just as many women now are watching pornography as men. And we're living in a sexual phase, and it's constantly burning. It's like a flame that's continually on. Why? Because we're unaware. Instead of looking at the Lord, instead of looking here, we're unaware of how this is affecting us and others. Notice as it goes on, verse 5. "In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with the scorners." Here we could see this idea that with the immorality, you also have the alcohol. This is starting to creep in. And they're unaware about how the dangers of alcohol is it. Verse 7. "For they have made ready their heart like an oven. While they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flame of fire." This flame is continuing to cook. They're just continuing just to fan the flames of immorality. verse 7, they are as hot as an oven and devoured their judges, and all of their kings are fallen. There is none of them that calleth unto me. This flame has burned so hot that that's all they can think about. And they're no longer thinking about God. They're thinking about their next way to please their flesh. They're unaware. Notice this. Not only are they an oven, but the Bible gives another imagery. They're a cake not turned. A cake not turned. Notice with me in verse number 8. Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. So notice this. Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Whenever you see this idea of a mixed people, and you find it all throughout the Bible, what it's doing is carrying the idea of mixing a believer with a non-believer. When a believer is married to a non-believer, you're going to have an incompatible thing. You know what happens is that you can't communicate correctly. When someone's a believer, they can't talk to an unbeliever about spiritual things in the same relationship, the same plane. By the way, that's true with our lost friends or friends who have no desire. If I love the Bible and I'm with a friend who goes to church and doesn't read the Bible, I can't relate to them. I can't tell them I'm so excited and get the same feedback. They're like, nice, I'm glad you're reading the Bible. Not for me. We lose that relationship. We lose this intenseness. We lose this place where we could talk with each other about the things of the Lord. And so here it said, Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. This principle of mixed people. And so the image here is a cake not turned. What is a cake not turned? A cake not turned, for those of you who have done bakery type stuff, it's burnt on one side and raw and doughy on the other. And you know what that is? Useless. You can't eat it. If it's burnt on one side and doughy on the other side, you're not going to be able to get that down. It's a cake not turned. What an image that someone who's in a mixed relationship, who is not yoked up with someone that's a believer that wants to follow the Lord, that's the result you get. A cake not turned. By the way, that affects more than just us. In that type of home, the kids aren't going to be raised correctly. We cannot resurrect on Sunday what is put to death in the home. You know what you're going to get? You know what you're going to produce when you have people that don't live spiritually at home, but come to church and try to have their kids to be spiritual? A cake not turned. Someone that's not cooked correctly. Someone that's not going to be thoroughly for the Lord. They're going to have some strong standards on issues, but they're not going to have any spiritual backing behind it. And what it does is it, when you say, here's a dish, here's what Christianity looks like, people are like, I don't want to have any of that. If you had a restaurant and they delivered a cake unturned, it's burnt on one side and doughy on the inside, you wouldn't want to go to that place ever again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have anything to do with this. That's the type of Christians that are produced in churches like this or in homes like that, where they don't want to have anything to do with God at home, but come to church and expect something spiritual to be produced. They're going to produce a cake not turned. Something that nobody wants to have anything to do with. A monstrosity. Something that God did not intend, and instead of being nourishing and healthy and pleasant, the whole experience with them is unpleasant. A cake not turned. What imagery we have in our mind as God is saying that they're unaware. Remember, this is the whole idea, that they're unaware. Could you imagine a baker so unaware that they cooked the stuff, they didn't even think about turning it over, and they just, without paying attention, just put this on a plate and served it to someone? That unaware that this is what they're producing, unaware this is the dish that they're giving to people, they're unaware. Notice as it goes on, verse 9, strangers have devoured his strength. By the way, our strength comes from the Lord. Where what happens is that you get something that has no spiritual strength. And they're not even aware of this. Notice the analogy. And he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, but he knoweth not. For those who have had the privilege of starting getting gray hairs, you remember when you started getting gray hairs. You don't just look in the mirror one day and go, whoa, what happened? How did I get so gray? Now, of course, some people are good at masking it, but you masked it on purpose. You became aware and said, I'm going to do something about this. But to have someone so unaware, they didn't realize that they turned all silver. They didn't realize it. They just still think they just have their natural color the whole time. Unaware. Now we look at that and we could relate to that. Can you imagine someone so unaware and God says, that's you. When you're not close to me, when you haven't turned to me, you're trying to live the Christian life without me, you're unaware. This is all going on. Unaware. Verse number 10. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face that they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all of this. You know, God is saying they're so unaware, and all they're saying is that they're not coming back to God. One of the things about being a spiritual Christian is that you're so heartbroken with Christians who think that they're so spiritual and they are unaware that they are so far from God and they've never come back and there's so much evidence that they haven't returned to God. They're unaware, but everyone else can see. Notice we have another illustration. We talked about the oven on, they're in an oven, that flame continuing to go on. We've spoke about the cake not turned. Here's another image that God's trying to get our head to try to show us what we really look like. We're unaware. Notice in verse 11, Ephraim is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt and they call to Assyria. They are like a silly dove. That word silly carries an idea that they're easily persuaded. We would say they are without judgment. The book of Proverbs, it calls this one of the fools, the simple fool, the silly fool. They are without discernment. The New Testament uses this same phrase that the Pharisees were leading away silly women with false doctrine. They had no discernment and they were able to be easily persuaded, fooled, and deceived. The Bible says that someone who hasn't turned to God and close to God, they are easily deceived. They are without discernment. Let me define the word discernment. The word discernment carries the idea of far-seeing. In simplistic terms, you're able to see the consequences of your actions. Most people do not see the consequences of their actions. I can be a Christian without reading my Bible. They don't see the consequences of that action. That it doesn't just affect you, it affects others. You see, they are unaware. They're without discernment. It's like a silly dove. A dove that has no discernment. A dove, a type of bird that can easily fall into a trap, not realizing that there's a trap there. Not realizing that there's a danger there. Kind of like a suicidal squirrel. Not realizing what danger they're in. They're unaware. By the way, isn't it funny for hunters? You could crack a stick and that doe, whoa, what happened? And take off running. But you're driving down the highway and it's like, what? Yeah, just one of those things. Unaware. All throughout this passage, God is trying to give these pictures in the mind. You don't realize how unaware you are. We can all see it. We can see your gray hairs. I don't have any gray hairs. Yes, look. You don't understand. You're a cake that's not turned over. You're not producing something. You're unaware. You're like a flame burning, that oven constantly on, and all you can see is the flames and the desires and the sin and that what you want to do, and you're unaware of the consequences. You're unaware of God is against you, or you're unaware that the strength is gone. You're unaware that the victory is gone. You're unaware. Do you hear God's heart? Do you hear him begging the people? Do you see him just trying to say, here's a mirror, just look? Unaware. Notice how unaware that they are. Verse 11, Ephraim is like a dove without a heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Remember, over and over, we've placed an emphasis that Assyria is like the Nazis of the ancient world. Could you imagine in 1930s, in 1930s Europe, and saying, you know what, we don't like those capitalist British people. We hate those Americans. You know what? Let's go ahead and join with Germany. They are on the right track. Do you think that's a good decision? No. Not at all. And do you know that there were some people that still sided with Germany? Mm-hmm. Unawares. Could you imagine being willingly saying, hey, I want to join the Nazis. They're good for us. Unaware. Where the rest of them can see danger. No, what are you thinking? No. Oh, I'm good. I'm great. I'm fine. This is a good plan. No, you're without discernment. You don't realize what danger you're in. You don't realize that they're offering you a false hope. Unaware. Unaware. Verse 12. And when they go, I will spread my net upon them, and I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Now, verse 12 is not a bad thing. God says he's going to put a net to catch that silly bird, but he's doing it to chastise them, do it to try to get their attention and say, no, don't fly over there. Come back over here. Stay here where you can be taken care of. Stay here, you silly bird. Don't fly over to them. Stay here. He put things in their way. He netted them not to hurt them, but to bring them close, to help them to not realize what of a danger they're truly in. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Yet I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against them. Notice verse 13. Though I have redeemed them, they have spoken lies against me. What a horrible thing that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, to offer you forgiveness full, free, and forever, and for someone to know that and still lie and say, God is not good to me. God is not right. God doesn't have his best in mind. God's just trying to limit me. God's not looking out for me. And all the various things that people say. Why won't you read your Bible? Well, I'm good enough without it. No, you don't realize what danger you're unaware. And the people will come up with excuses and blame God and give all kinds of reasons why they don't obey God, why they're not faithful to God, why they won't turn to him. They are unaware. Zeb, help us out. Someone just stepped back there. And they went up the stairs. Notice, if you don't mind, as it goes on, verse 14, and they have not cried out unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assembled themselves for corn and wine. They rebel against me. Notice this, they cried not unto me with their heart when they howled upon their bed. When they have consequences, when things are going on in their lives, and they will still yet refuse to come to God. They are unaware. Notice this. We have one more picture that God puts in here. They're a deceitful bow. Verse 15. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are a deceitful bow. Their princes fall by the sword, by the rage of their tongue. and their derision by the land of Egypt. So it says that they return, but not to me. So here, I'll go back to God. Sure, I love Jesus. Yeah, I'll read my Bible. Yeah, and they say that they return, but they haven't really returned. They're like a deceitful bow. What is a deceitful bow? All right, this is something some of you are going to steal later on, all right? It's like having a gun that refuses to hit the target. Someone says, that's always been my problem. That you use this, you have every expectation to hit the target, and it never hits the target. It's a deceitful bow. It's always out of whack. It's always, what good is it? If we're going to go into spiritual warfare, I want something that's sighted in that's going to hit its target. Amen. God says, you're a deceitful bow. I tried to use you. I said, all right, they come to me. And they never hit their mark. I can't use them. They're not a good instrument. It's like having a sword. And you're out there with all the knights that have nice metal swords and yours is made out of cardboard. It's not going to do you much good. A deceitful bow. He says, they've returned, but they haven't returned to me. They made some lip service. They said, oh, sure, I love Jesus. I'll sing the songs when I'm supposed to. I know how to sit up, stand up. I know when I'm supposed to be there. But they haven't returned to God with their heart. They're trying to deceive everyone and say, oh, yes, I'm a great Christian. God says, well, you're good enough that I can't use you. A deceitful bow. You won't be there for me to use when it's time. The whole time God is saying they're unaware. What a horrible condition for people to be in. And what's worse, people will listen to this and think of someone else. They're so unaware that they won't even realize it's them. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's always someone else. They're unaware that it's them that's away from God. They're unaware that God's trying to get a hold of them. They're unaware that God's brokenhearted over them. So he uses these word pictures. They're an oven, just those flames of immorality and lust and desire and sin. That's what's on their mind. That's what they think about. That's what they want. That they're like a cake not turned, that they're burnt on one side and raw on the other, not fit to be served, not fit to be used. They're like a silly dove, someone without discernment, someone who's easily persuaded, easily deceived, and that give them a chance, they'll fly to the wrong place and not where they're supposed to. They're like a deceitful bow, a weapon that will never hit its target. They've turned back to God, but not really. And they think they're fine. Oh, yes, I say I love Jesus. Isn't that enough? No. Will I show up to church every once in a while? No. They haven't turned to God, really. They've done enough to make them feel better. But they're a deceitful bow. God can't use them because they'll never hit the target. They'll never be help. And God says the whole time they are unaware. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for you being a wonderful God. And I'm reminded of what it says in the New Testament that we need to awake to righteousness. So many of us are unaware of our true spiritual condition. We think we're fine. We think we're good. We persuaded ourselves that we're where we're supposed to be. And yet God looks at us and plainly sees we are so far away that we're not lined up. Help us to be dependent upon you and your strength. Help us to be willing to allow you to correct our behavior, to draw us close, to point things out that need to be fixed, to allow you to do your great work so we can be pleasant to others. We could be useful by you in the spiritual warfare to draw people close to you and see victories in their life. Lord, help us to awake to righteousness and to be aware of our true spiritual condition and be humble enough to say, God, show me as I really am, not who I think I am or who I want to be. Help me to have a realistic view of myself. Lord, help us today to have victories and help people to be aware. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.